the Prentice Altum Heating and Air Coach's Corner from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and GoPrimeTimeSports.com.
Welcome back to the Prentice Allsup Heating and Air Coach's Corner. John Dinkins here at the Cedar Bucket Restaurant, and Coach Thomas McDaniel of the Oakland Patriots joins me. And Coach, we were watching the scores come up last night, and you had a pretty tough draw to open up, and it appeared that your guys played tough and played hard.
Yeah, we had a tough draw, but we deserved. I mean, we were 6-4. We didn't beat the Riverdales and Blackmans and Smyrnas of the world, and that, you know, that puts you in that position to be an 8 seed. And you know, I think we got, again, it's not a knock on our team, but we got what we deserved. I'm not going to make excuses. When you're 6-4, you should be going on the road and playing a great football team in the first round. But all that being said, I'm so proud of our kids, man. We gave them everything we had, and we did. We ran out of steam.
We were, Brian and I were interested observers, you might say. We were picking you guys last night, and we felt like that if you could control the line of scrimmage and get some offense going, that it would be a tight game, and indeed it was. They had that lead at 14-7 for a long time. Could you? Is it a case of also having some opportunities maybe when you had the lead and couldn't break it and go in and get another score?
We had one or two chances right before half to finish another drive that we didn't finish. And then I thought there were a lot of big plays in the game, obviously, that changed the complexity. But we had 2-3 and outs in the second half. We got the ball. I think it was 14-7 at halftime. I don't even remember what goes on in the games, to be honest, but I think it was 14-7 at half. And we got the ball, and we needed to put a drive together. We didn't. Had to kick it to him or punt it to him. And then we got a little stagnant on those two drives. We finally got a good drive going and got down. I believe it was 21-21 at that time. I'm not sure, but we got it down to the 24-26 yard line. And it was 1st and 10, and I thought, man, if we score here, again, the last 12 to 15 minutes, we ran out of steam. But for about 30 minutes of the game, we really dominated the line of scrimmage up front offensively. And the thing that I didn't feel like Mount Juliet had anybody do to him was line up and try to run it right at him. And we executed so well early on offensively. Going back and watching the film, we did so many good things. The first drive of the game against them was like a thing of beauty. The game couldn't start any better because we went 3 and out. We stopped and made a punt. And then, it was like 11, 12 play drive that we're just gashing it down the field. And But you know, I give them a lot of credit. First of all, they're extremely talented football team for everybody around this area. You know, and I'm sure a lot of people will be at that game next Friday night with them and Siegel. They are very talented. They're very much comparable to anybody you'd see in this league on a Friday night. That's for sure. We've got great looking kids, and they play one way. And I knew that would be a factor at some point. I was just kind of praying and hoping that we could hold on. And they just hit a couple big plays. We ran a couple plays that we hadn't seen in practice that they hurt us on twice. And our kids laid it out there for us last night.
A big key is with their offense is keeping them off the field, and you pretty much did that
in the first half. First half we did a great job, but again, in the third quarter we had those 2 3-and-outs. We had 3 or 4 drives that were pretty stagnant, and then when we finally had something big happen to make it, 21-21. It was the first play of the drive. Obviously, you want to score, don't get me wrong, but when Trey Swader hit, I think, a 70 or 80-yard play to make it 21-21, the bad thing about that is the defense had to go right back out on the field. And so, you know, all that being said, there's no time to rest. And I think Trey Swader had to play both ways the whole night, played tailback, return punts, return kicks, plays corner every play. I mean, he must have played 90 snaps. You know, Trayvon Willis played fullback and linebacker, and Bradford Hughes plays tight end and defensive end. Mikey Smith plays guard and defensive tackle. We had about 6 or 7 guys that were on the field the whole time. And
Ran out of gas, maybe a little.
Yeah, after the Blackman game, I had said, you know, that we were going to put our best players on the field and just go down with those guys. At least the best people were going to be out there. And they were out there to the end last night, and we ran out of steam in their depth, again, going both ways. They got no guys that go both ways. So they got 22 starters, and, you know, that obviously was a big part of what ended up being the end for us, because we just couldn't match them late with the, you know, we were tired.
That's a lot of things that sometimes that goes unnoticed in football games, how many plays, how many snaps they take. And when you have the luxury of going, your 11 starters on offense don't have to play any defensively, that's got to take the burden off of them a lot. And you did a great job on the Hopkins kid, I believe,
yeah,
in the first half. And really just two plays is what really turned it around for his personal stats anyway.
Yeah, it was a play where they're running a midline give instead of the quarterback. They were giving it to the second back coming around. And that's I give them a lot of credit on that, because they saw on film where we had a hard time handling Dylan against Riverdale on the midline keep, and they don't want their quarterback running it, so they figured out a way to fake the midline up in there and give it to the second guy. And we've never seen that in practice. We've never seen it on film, and they heard us on it twice. And that kid in particular, all their backs, really, you give them any space at all, and they have ability. Again, I'm not trying to make anybody over at Siegel sweat too much, but I mean, I'm sure Coach Wine tell you the same thing. They're very skilled offensively, and we did it. I mean, for us to hold them to 7 points in the first half, I mean, I was impressed with our defensive effort, and we were really getting after it. But you know, when you got that many weapons, eventually, you know, you keep slamming on that door, and it's going to bust open, and that's was kind of what happened.
And basically, the only way to do that is keep them off the field, and that didn't happen in the third quarter.
Didn't happen in the third, fourth
quarter. Let's talk a little bit about some of the kids. I know Trey Swader had a great night. He had that long run, but your kids have stepped up, and even in a couple of defeats, they've never stopped. They've never quit, and I know that's something that, as a coach, you're proud of the way they've done that. Even if things have not gone as well down the stretch, they've still continued to just play hard and each and every night.
We have so many overachievers on our football team this year, and I hate to belittle the situation by, I don't want to say that we don't have great players, because we do, but they're overachievers. I mean, we played with some guys that, to be quite honest with you, the last 3 years they wouldn't have been on the field because of some of the athletes we've had in certain positions. And guys like, again, Mikey Smith playing offensive guard, defensive tackle, every snap against Riverdale, every snap against Mount Juliet. We couldn't ask for a better kid to coach than a guy like Mikey Smith, and he goes and fights for us every night. Bradford Hughes, you know, puts on 30 pounds in off season and became a great tight end, defensive end for us. And you know, Trey Swader, obviously, the way he stepped up, and Edwin Locklear playing free safety. He's got over 100 something tackles this year for us. And you know, Justin Barrett and Trayvon Willis, a junior growing up. And you know, I think we started five sophomores last night. Believe it or not, as crazy as this sounds, we played a freshman at fullback for about 10 snaps, and he did an outstanding job. You know, in this league and against a team like Mount Juliet, you're not supposed to be playing a freshman, that's for sure, and you don't need to be playing sophomores. But
I mean, that's their first playoff experience, basically. I mean, you got to take that in consideration too. I mean, they may have been,
yeah, I mean,
they have been there,
the
but
freshman,
playing.
But we had a freshman kickoff returner last night that almost broke one. I mean, they don't even know. I mean, I don't even think they know what the playoffs mean. And they were out there playing, and they did a great job. But, you know, we got Emmanuel Smith back last night, and he was able to do some things. But he's just been out ever since Blackman, for 6 weeks. And he was kind of the X factor that we've been missing all year, just the change of pace guy. And his injury really hurt us, because he's going to be a special player. And it was kind of unfair to him. He got to come back Monday. We put a couple plays in, and he did. He had a couple really nice runs last night. But, you know, We had so many weird things happen this year. We lost three DBs before the season even started. I lost two senior offensive linemen before we ever put on pads, Steve Wright and Chase Highfield. We've
And they're not just—they're just not your normal. Steve Wright is not just your everyday run of the mill.
He'd been a 2-year starter for us, and we've been decimated in certain positions with injuries, and so we had a bunch of guys step up, and you take a kid like Monte Rhodes that plays flanker for us. You know, I hate saying it because Monte probably gets sick of hearing it, but he's 5'5" and he's 128 pounds, and that kid's been our program 4 years, and I never thought he'd step on the field, and he's found a way through all the hard work and time he's put in to be a starter for us all year and done an outstanding job. I mean, he has just been a great player, unselfish, been a great teammate. When we moved freshmen up and got them involved, I put a freshman in there at flanker. Instead of pouting and complaining, he's over there coaching him. That's the kind of guys that make you great to go to work. You always have some kids, you know, the defeat and the way things happen, you're always going to have a few that it's kind of a sour grape mentality. But for the most part, I think all of our kids, the majority of them, knew last night they laid it on the line for our school and our community. I know that they're proud of the way they played, and I think they know that our coaching staff is proud of them. I'm so proud of our football team. I'm so proud of the way that they represented our school. And all we've asked them is just to go out there and give it your best and give yourself the best chance to be successful. And we did that last night, and we just came up, you know, just a couple plays short. We had a chance. When it was 35-27 with about 40 seconds to go. We kicked the onside kick, and we're about a yard away from catching. And, okay, again, we have to throw Emmanuel Smith in there, who's never been on onside kick. We throw him in there to be the end man, and he's never done it. It's not his fault. And he's running, trying to go get the ball. And, I mean, he's just about one arm length away from getting that ball. We'd had the ball with about 40 to go, and who knows what would have happened. But chips just didn't fall our way a lot this year. But I cannot say enough, unless you're around a football organization, you understand all the components that take place and all the – there's so many things that happen in a football team that you're not aware of. And for us to go to practice every day after getting beat by Blackman the way we did and having the week of Smyrna and Riverdale, for us to come to practice and to have the mentality that we've had all week, this has been the funnest group of kids to coach. They've had the greatest attitude that I could ever ask, and so I'm at peace with it.
And you can sleep at night. You know, that's the thing.
Yep, I can.
Let's talk a little bit about next year. I don't want to, you know, belabor the too much, but, you know, we've talked about, you guys are young. I mean, this is a fact. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get better, and you played some freshmen last night, which is totally amazing to me that they do well in that kind of situation. But it starts now. I mean, you got a 3-week dead period, sort of, and then then it starts. And where do they have to improve in your eyes in terms of to make them better football players and a better football team?
Well, you know, we've got probably four linemen up front on offense coming back. That's going to be big for us, the depth there. We've got probably four or five defensive skilled people coming back and two defensive linemen. We're gonna have a lot of experience. Still some young because it will be some juniors. But our senior class, we're very talented in our freshman and sophomore class. Our junior class is considered not to be very talented, and we've had a lot of guys in that junior class step up. Again, Trayvon Willis, Clinton Tuck, Ladarius Gaines, Nathan Robinette, Austin Janke. We've got guys in that junior class. Cliff Thompson, that have come a long way. So I'm really excited about this group of what is now going to be the 2012 seniors and the way that they're going to be able to lead. And I think, you know, I think this senior class will learn things from this past season senior class that they feel like they might can do a better job of. And I know for me personally, I mean, I've been coaching for 12 years, and I was amazed this year at how much I've learned about what I'm not doing a good job at. And I have the fortune of sitting in the cafeteria and doing lunchroom supervision. So I'll be on the computer sometime. And last week I have started a spreadsheet of things that I know that we have to address in the offseason and things that I've got to do a better job of from a management standpoint so that we are as effective as possible. And you know, you just learn things, you know, every year. And I learned a lot of stuff about what we need to do better as a coaching staff. And so I'm excited. You know, obviously I want a little time off. You know, I got a baby coming in 4 weeks, which is awesome for me.
Congratulations.
And I'm excited about that. And hopefully I can get some rest and continue to play. But I'm excited to get back to work and figure out where we can fix some of the problems we had. But like you said earlier, I'm at peace with it because our kids, they gave us everything they had. And we never had that loser mentality all year of, you know, we're not going to be any good, or we're not going to meet the expectation level. Yeah, I don't think there was any expectation for us this year, but I'm just really proud of the group of seniors and the way they grew up and acted like men and handled things the right way.
You've got a good middle school program as well, and I think in the next couple of years, you've already started seeing a little bit of benefit of having that junior high program, which you did not have. I know several couple years ago. So I know you're real pleased with the job they're doing over there.
Oh, yeah, our middle school coach has done an awesome job. And like I said, our freshman team is extremely talented. And a lot of those guys will be asked to play next year. But we're going to have more depth probably. We'll probably have a little more athleticism than we had this year. That's no knock on anybody. But we're just going to have some more athletes probably in certain positions. And it's also going to create a little bit better culture of competition. That once we got finished with Blackman, I decided we had to put our best people out there. I think when you're five games into the season, everybody on the team knows who the best people are. When you have the depth issues that we had, we haven't had that in the previous 3 years. So my point being, to create a culture of competition every day at practice is very beneficial. The kids may not like it at times, but there's going to be a much greater sense of competition at practice because we got a lot more people. We got a lot of guys that are going to have a chance to play, and they're going to have to prove their worth. And it'll be good for all parties involved because you need that, and it puts pressure on you. And if you don't have pressure, then usually you get stagnant. You know, so. And I don't want to say that in a negative way, but I do feel like there were kids this year, there were a few of them that knew there wasn't pressure on them. And it wasn't their fault, but we just didn't have any other options. And I just think human nature as a 17-year-old, if you don't have pressure on you, you can sometimes get a little stagnant. And it will help us to be able to have those extra bodies of athletes to create some competition and make it a little bit more interesting at practice.
I know you don't mean it negative at all, because you've mentioned it during the course of the season. You know, there needs to be a little bit more competition. But with these freshmen, sophomores coming up, the depth is big key in high school football, really. And I don't think people understand that. But it's just like the Mount Juliet situation. You got 11 out there that don't have to play both ways. And the more the situation that you can do that, Riverdale came in this year with a lot more depth than they'd had. It just makes for I think a good situation is that it continues to give that competition to each and every one of them.
You got to have depth in this league because of the gauntlet that we go through. I'm just waiting for I wish that, the Siegel and Blackman and Riverdale and Smyrna, at some point they need to have a down year. I mean, it's like, good grief. It's, you know, every year.
Yeah.
I love this league, but I'm getting tired. I'm only 33, and there's too many good teams. Somebody needs to go down a little bit.
And you know, Laverne's starting to look a little scary.
Laverne got much better throughout the year, so that's just what we need. We need another one in there in the mix.
And when the depth comes to an issue, because there is no rest. I mean, in your regular season schedule, there is no rest. And, I mean, you can't find it anywhere.
No. But it is a great league to play in. I mean, it's an awesome league to play in. And we're very fortunate. I know all the coaches would say the same thing, to get to play in the type of games we get to play in. And I think there's so many great high school football players. And I know it's been documented, but I just think it starts with our superintendent, our principals. All of them know that athletics is such a premium to the school environment and just the atmosphere it creates for everything. And I think a lot of people, including the educators, don't understand what the athletics does for our community and for the school morale and spirit. And so everybody from the top all the way down understands the importance of the football programs, and not that it's above anything, but just the culture it creates for everybody, and it makes it awesome thing for the students, and great for going to work. And we're just all fortunate to be able to be in this county and play such quality football.
You know, Butch Vaughn, who hired you, he had that same philosophy. It's just like when I hear you speak, and it's just the same philosophy that he had. And that administrator, Mr. Spurlock, all the way down, if you don't have that, it makes it doubly tough, and it's very important.
Mr. Spurlock has been awesome for us. He's done everything he can to help our football program and all our athletic programs. And he's like me, you know, he wants to win at everything. And it's a process. We're trying to make improvements with all our sports programs, and he wants us to be successful, whether it's in, you know, cross country or baseball. So again, it's awesome to see young kids be successful at something, and kids nowadays need something to latch on to, and a lot of times that's athletics. So it's great because our administration at Oakland is very supportive, and they do a great job of making it important for all the kids.
Well, I know you want to take a rest for 3 weeks, because when the baby's born, you may not get quite as much sleep as you've gotten in the past. Have you been training? Have you been in the weight room getting ready for changing diapers, that kind of thing? Or is that something you just stay away from completely?
I from what I've heard for the first year or so, the baby is really doesn't want anything to do with the father.
You're kind of right there.
That's what I've told my wife, so I'll just let her have her time.
You know, I'm backing you on this.
And
okay,
then when she turns three, then I'll put the golf club in her hand and then we'll start our bonding.
There you go. That's when you do it. That's when most dads do it. But congratulations on that.
Appreciate
congratulations it. On a good season, and I know many more to come. And Thomas, we went a little over today, but, you know, I just feel like sometimes we get rushed and we don't get a chance to really talk to you guys in the length that we need to. So, and good luck next year, and say hello to your coaching staff. And
I appreciate all y'all do. It's been a interesting year for us. So I appreciate our fans.